Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. And I'm going to breathe a big oxygenation because I'm pretty excited and I start talking really fast, Marianne. We were just talking about that. So
yeah, we were.
I'm going to try to slow down a little. I have two dear friends, actually three dear friends.
Oh,
I include you, Marianne, as a dear friend. But I can't wait to introduce these special guests that are a part of Testimony Tuesday. I've known them, gosh, 20 plus years. I don't know, a long time. Yep. I think of a number of couples that I've known well over these many years that have modeled Christ to me through their marriage, how they have a supportive role in each other's lives and how they've stuck together through thick and thin. Well, these two are amongst some of the couples that I look up to and appreciate so much. So I'll introduce them in just a moment. Excited about that. I will clarify, if you were tuned in yesterday during the Monday edition, Mark and Friends, we had this great program. Mike Nicholson from Mantex was in the studio. We had some good conversation, but it all ended up just being in the studio here. It didn't make it to the tower.
How fun for us.
So, yeah. So we're going to re-ear that next week because I think you'll be blessed by what was said and shared in the scripture verse that we worked on together. It did re-air properly in the evening because as we recorded and broadcasted, it was fine here. It just didn't connect to the tower, which meant it didn't get out over the airwaves. But it made it by the evening because we always archive it when we record it and then put it on the website. But anyways, I think you'll be blessed by it, so you'll hear that next Monday. But with us in the studio today is Captain Mike and Linda Barker. We read the story last week about Captain Mike. Kathleen Jennings was in the studio during our Wednesday edition when we do the Prime Life Times in Review. Gosh, I am talking still pretty fast, aren't I?
Oh, you're doing better.
Okay, I'll slow down a little.
Got that oxygen in there.
Yeah. So we've referred to Captain Mike, I think, since the first time I met you, Captain Mike. He's an imposing, how many inches?
I'm 6'6 now.
6'6. And today's his birthday, his 77th birthday, this very day. Mm-hmm. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Captain Mike is married to Linda, who he affectionately, I think I mentioned it last week, he calls her his little munchkin. Okay. She's like not ahead. He's like to call her that, but I thought it was always endearing. So it's endearing to Mike, maybe not so much to Linda, but
she's taking it.
She's a sweet helpmeet. Yeah,
You're used to it.
But a few weeks ago, they celebrated their 55th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
So Mike was just telling me he was just turning 21. I think you, Linda, were 18 when you got married and have made it these 55 years and continue to compliment each other. Linda's one of those servants. She reminds me of Carl Duderstadt's wife, Sandy, and some others that through thick and thin have stuck with it, have been a gem, a godly woman, has supported Mike in so many different roles, and even in some of the stories, growing up and not traveling much from home, but then having the same passion and desire as Mike to, you know, visit the world, with Mike being a captain and in the Navy, traveling and being located or relocated all over the world. And so you've gotten to see some of that together. But thank you for carving out time on this Testimony Tuesday and being available to share a little of your life story. So we'll probably put you a little bit on the spot just to hear what God's been doing in your life and some of your faith journey, how you've leaned into God these many years and have really a faithful, wonderful testimony in these senior years of your life. So, Captain Mike, how about first introducing your lovely wife, Linda, and maybe set the stage of what drew you to her some years ago?
Well, Linda's always been a light of my life. We grew up not far from each other, less than a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me 3 years to get a date with her.
Oh.
Even though she says she doesn't remember, I remember well.
You knew you were trying.
As he said in the movie, I remember well. But on the third try, I got a date with her. I was a freshman in college, and she was a senior in high school. And we went out. We had a good time, and then we started dating after that. And then it was that summer, I was hired by Skelly Oil Company. I was a petroleum major at the University of Tulsa. I was there on an athletic scholarship to play basketball. And myself and a football player named Gary Porterfield, we were sent up to El Dorado, Kansas, a small world, who was up there about the same time with Pastor Randy Gowder. And we didn't know it until just a few years ago. But we went up there and spent the summer, and we came home about every third week because we'd have to leave on a Saturday right after work. And we got home about 10 o'clock on Saturday evenings, and then we'd have to leave Sunday about 8 o'clock. And we'd get back up there about midnight, and we'd have to be at work the next morning at about 5:30. So it was kind of tough, but we made it.
And so at this time, you're around 21, Linda's around 18. How did the parents feel about this young new couple getting serious about marriage?
Well, it wasn't serious at first.
Linda was playing hard to get?
She wasn't playing.
Well, no,
she wasn't playing.
Really.
Why do people use that phrase?
We were talking off and on, but then the second year, we were talking more serious about it to the point that I talked to her parents about it, about getting engaged, and that was all right that time with Virginia and Warren, or Bus, as we called him. So we set a time to get engaged. It was about August 15th of 1963. I was still working for Scully Oil Company and going to Tulsa University. And the great thing about the time, Linda was helping me. She was topping my papers. Most of my professors said, God, if we had known we could read your writing like this, you'd have made better grades. And then in February of that year, I went and popped the magic question that Linda and I wanted to get married. And Virginia yelled, oh, no, to the top of her voice. And Linda's brother and his wife, Terry and Sally, and they said, don't worry, we'll back you up. They were sitting behind us, and their idea of backing us up was being behind us.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. And I looked at Dad, and he said, don't worry about it, son, I'll take care of her. And he said, what you kids want to do, you go ahead. And I said, well, we're looking at the 7th of August of this year, 64. He said, that's great. Go right ahead.
Well, it looks to me like you made a great decision upon meeting Linda. And you mentioned Sandy Duderstadt. You do have some of that same glow and cheerfulness. The minute you walked in, I saw it. You really do, Linda.
Take that as a compliment.
Now, about your faith journey, are you believers at this time? Were you growing in the Lord? So, Linda, share a little of some of your faith journey.
I thought I was a believer at the time. It wasn't that I didn't believe, but I didn't have a day-to-day walk with the Lord. I mean, I did not doubt who he was, and I had grown up in the church, and my parents, you know, were in the church. But I found out later, to the thanks of my sister, who is younger than I am, who confronted me one day and asked me if I really knew that if I died today, would I go to heaven? And I couldn't really answer that question. And so through her talking with me and counseling with me and encouraging me, I wanted to make sure that I knew where I was going. Even though I felt like I was a Christian, when she asked me that question, I couldn't really answer it for certain. So right then and there, I made that decision to follow Jesus and to invite him into my life, and that's where I've been since then.
You know, that's probably a testimony for many of our listeners, or even some tuning in that are thinking, wait a minute, I've gone to church, you know, I give an offering each week. I'm a pretty good person. So what was the difference? I understand this. All of us in this room understand what it means to follow Jesus, to accept him into our heart, to recognize we need a Savior. But what was the difference where you went from, I'm a Christian, I go to church, to really seeing that Jesus needs to be front and center of all your life, not just somebody you say, yes, Jesus is who I follow on Sunday.
Right. I think before that time, before I actually made a heart confession, invited him into my life, I felt like I was a Christian. But when my sister started talking to me and asking me if I really knew him, I really couldn't answer it. So I had to make that decision. And I think because of doing that, because of making that decision to follow Jesus, his spirit encouraged me to start reading the Bible. And I couldn't get enough of it.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
I mean, I knew the Bible because I had read it in Sunday school, and we used it in church here then. You know, it was an occasional kind of thing. But I started really reading the Bible book by book, and I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And another time when we were stationed overseas in Morocco, I felt a need to go back and redo that. So I started in again. Mm-hmm. And I think that also helped me transition to being in a country so very far away from the rest of our family, even though Mike was there sort of in and out. I mean, he was there, but I didn't have anybody else. It was Mike and me. And fortunately, the Lord.
Yeah, your relationship with the Lord. I've heard many Christians testify that when they've asked Jesus in their heart, when they really surrendered, Lord, be not only my Savior, but be my God, be my Master, be my coach, be my friend. When that intimacy begins, as they read the Scripture, it comes more alive. So there might be somebody tuning in that says, well, when I look at the Bible, it's kind of boring or I don't really get it. Well, it might be because they've never really asked Jesus into their heart, asked the Holy Spirit to be a part of their time of reading, really connected and saying, Lord, this is your word. You're the word. You're the word manifested. You're God with us. I get that, or help me understand that even more, and help me as I read your word to know you.
Right.
And I've heard many people say that suddenly God's word became much more living and active in their lives.
Seek and you'll find.
Yeah, seek and you'll find. Now, Mike, was your upbringing in a Christian home? Did you have people modeling Christ? Who was influential in your walk?
Yeah, I think my dad, to a certain extent. We were both in the same church, both at the same time. Our parents joined the church about the same time, Linda's, when the church was being built. I think it was my senior year, I had a man come into my life by the name of Don Engove, who really was walking the walk, and he started talking to me. And we talked a lot after church, during evening times at church, during youth fellowship. And he started giving me things to read and things to think about and to talk to him. And I would call him on the phone, or he'd call me on the phone.
So kind of like a mentoring relationship.
That's what I was thinking.
It was very much. And that went on for a period of about 3 years.
Wow, that's great.
And when I went out to the University of Tulsa, he asked me, he said, where are you going to school? Because I know you're getting a lot of letters from different universities. Your dad's told me, and some of them are not close. Some of them are not good universities. He said I would vote against them. And he told me, and I'd received letters. I'd read about them from about 32 universities.
Wow.
And
was some of this because of your basketball skills?
Oh,
I mean, you're obviously, we mentioned 6'6", and pretty big guy, and active and athletic.
Yeah, I went on up to 6'7", and when I got into TU, my sophomore year, they lasted me at 6'8".
My word, you stretched up there.
But depending on where I went to school, that wasn't my number one priority. And Don and I talked about it. He said, well, what is your number one priority? I said, my number one priority is what I want to become at college, at university, and I want to become a petroleum engineer in petroleum marketing. And Tulsa has that. Tulsa is the number one petroleum engineering school in the world.
Well, then how do you go from that desire, that passion, to becoming Captain Mike?
Yeah.
Well, that came of graduating out of Tulsa, and then I thought when I blew my leg out real bad in two operations that I probably wouldn't have to worry about the military. That was funny because I did have to think about the military, and I wound up getting into the Navy in my second year of graduate school.
Linda, are you two married at this point? You're going through, he's blown out his knee. How did the decision affect you when he started thinking, oh, the military, the Navy, this is what I'm going to maybe be doing?
You know, I was excited about that. I hadn't been anywhere to speak of. My parents didn't travel. They owned their own business. You can't just take off and go, even for vacations. That's a planned thing. But I would love to see even the United States, because I really hadn't seen that. When he decided, when Uncle Sam started breathing down his neck and he chose to go into the Navy, I thought, well, this is going to be different. You know, I wasn't sure what I was facing because I'd not been anywhere to speak of. But the two of us, after he graduated from Officer Candidate School in Newport, then we took off and we went back to Newport because that's where his first duty station was. And I was really excited, only to find out that 2 weeks after we got there, he deployed.
Oh, my.
And there I was, left by myself for 7 months.
Oh.
And he was off doing what he wanted to do, which was be on that ship and sailing the seas.
It was a good time. I was really Linda sick for the first about 5 months. I really missed her. and wrote a lot of letters. We made it through it, and when I came home, we had a great time on leave, and we went to Hyannis Port and those kind of things and traveled. And then all of a sudden, we thought we'd be home for about 7 months, and all of a sudden, wham, we got home in August. In November, we were told that we were going to leave again in January.
Be deployed somewhere else?
No, be deployed back into the Mediterranean again with the Soviets. So off we went again.
Wow.
And I talked to Linda. I said, give it a good thought about what you want to do, because we're going to have to make a decision when I get back, because I have a 3-year stay as a reservist, and we'll need to make a decision. So I went over, did her time, came back, and we went home to visit her family and friends. And coming back on the airport, we came to the conclusion, God, they're doing the same thing we were doing when we left in 1966, and it's really boring. And on the airplane back to Newport, I asked Linda, I said, what do you really want to do?
Oh, that's so nice of you to do.
And she, yeah, well, she, you know, she had a 75% vote in this. So she picked up my
husbandry 101. You've learned
75%
this.
75% vote. I like
she,
this. Keep talking.
She picked up my hand, and she said, you know, if it's okay with you, I'd really like to give it a go. So what would you have to do? I said, I'm going to have to augment into the regular Navy. In other words, I'll go from USNR to becoming USN. So I'll be what they call a lifer. And she said, that's good for me. Can you get out anytime you want to? And I said, pretty much I can. So we'll go into it, and that's how we did it. And
nice.
I augmented, and it wasn't very hard. I augmented and became regular Navy. And the next step, I went to the destroyer school for 6 months and went to the Rogers.
Obviously, your career continued to grow and advancements, and then the captain. And I think we have in the article, if anyone picks up this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, the August edition, you'll see on B1, Kathleen Jennings did a little summary of some of the things you did. It's called and entitled Captain Mike.
Yeah.
Linda, with you and Captain Mike, you're serving as a team, if you will, because you have this great supportive role, but did you feel this as like a God-given calling? You know, when you serve the military, it's so unlike a typical position where you go to work and you're back 9 to 5 or whatever. So, like, obviously when Mike's deployed, you have a lot of time with God and time to grow and learn, but how did that all work?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I probably didn't realize it at the time, but it was a really growing time for me. Mm-hmm. It never seemed to fail that as soon as Mike deployed, the washer quit running and, you know, the kids came down with mumps or whatever, you know, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good time of learning for me. Mm-hmm. And I found comfort by getting involved in my church.
Sure.
And those were the people that I trusted mm-hmm. with me and my children. And that's what filled my time, basically, aside from, you know, caring for my children. I worked before we started having children, but after the children came along, of course, I was at home.
Now, you had three children?
Two.
Two.
Oh, I saw
well,
the three.
Well, it
what
depends
was
on what
for?
You call Mike.
Oh, great. Oh, no.
The three things were...
Yeah, Mike was holding up three, and I thought, okay, that was the key. Three children.
Two children.
Every time I left, things broke down in threes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But anyway, that's kind of the way I felt it. I mean, I'm so grateful for my church family everywhere we were.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, well, where am I going to go? I mean, I grew up a Methodist. I went to a Christian church. I went to a Baptist church. I went to a Lutheran church. I mean, you know, it didn't make any difference, really. I went where I felt comfortable, where I felt God leading me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what kept me going, because I can say that the military life is what you make out of it. You can either learn to adjust and adapt if your spouse is deployed, or you can sit at home and complain and gripe and woe is me and all of that, and your life will be miserable.
Well, it seems like you have a kind of adventuresome spirit.
It was wonderful.
Yeah,
I had never been anywhere. Here I was in Morocco.
I know, Morocco. You know, I want to hear about that sometime.
Or Japan. And
you had some adventures, didn't you?
Very much so.
Yeah, you did.
Very much so. Never, ever dreamed I'd go to any of those places.
Yeah.
In our closing minute, Mike, is there a go-to verse or a special passage that God has spoken into your marriage or into your life these many years as you've served our military, which, incidentally, thank you for your service for our country
thank you, Mike.
And for us and the freedoms we enjoy.
The one that I just kept going back to and going back to was John 3:16, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have an eternal life. And they stopped there. But they should go on, because verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and the only Son of God.
Wow.
And that verse 17 and 18 to me is the real grasp of what 3:16 is all about.
They do all go together, don't they?
And I always ask the chaplains on board, have you read 17 and 18?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And if you're going to preach on 3:16, can you get 17 and 18 in there?
Oh, interesting.
And tell these sailors that 3:16 isn't enough, that you need to drive home 3:17 and 18.
Yeah.
And there were some times on Sundays I was asked to talk to them. And I did.
Yeah, that's
powerful.
A great passage.
Yes,
and so many people might fear God or are scared to come into that knowledge of following Jesus. But Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came with a message of love to bring unity, to bring salvation to the world. Yeah.
To save the world.
To save the world.
Because God loved us.
Yeah, because he loved us. But we need to respond to that. We need to receive that gift, to ask Jesus into our heart, to recognize he is the Savior, he is the Lord, he is King of Kings, and he is the one and true and only way to get to know God the Father.
Right.
And you can read about it in the book, the Bible, or you can talk to Christian friends, go to a good Bible-believing church, have your questions answered. Stop by the studio. We'd love to talk about it. Seek out Captain Mike or Linda. They'll talk about it. But what a great God we serve, that he desires to have an intimate, personal relationship with us, that he's provided the way, the means, the mechanism, the Lord Jesus Christ dying for us because he loved us.
And raising from the dead.
Accessible today.
Yes, he is.
He's alive today. So we worship him. And thank you, Captain Mike and Linda, for being a part of Testimony Tuesday.
How wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for your faith journey, your marriage, how you model Christ, your service to our country, both of you, and just the unique role God continues to work through you as you are active in a church, as you're active in so many of our lives, and supportive of the station, and that great story that's in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times. Read about Captain Mike and his service to our country and unique things God has done in his life.
And his bright and beautiful and adventuresome wife, Linda.
Yes, who makes it all possible, keeps the glue together.
Right.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Captain Mike and Linda Barker with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.